World War II, a time of unrelenting global trauma, stretching from 1939 to 1945. It involved all of the great powers of the time. It was the most destructive episode in the history of civilization. It required its major forces to dedicate their entire military, economic, industrial, and scientific capabilities to the cause of warfare. Estimates of the death toll vary, from 50 million to 85 million worldwide. World War II took the art of war to new and appalling heights through massacre, genocide, remorseless bombing raids, starvation, disease, and the first use of nuclear weapons. Phyllis Audrey Riley wanted desperately to drive trucks for the Army in World War II, but her petite build ruled that out. The authorities said she wouldn't be able to reach the pedals. But Phil, as she always liked to be known, had an enterprising nature, honed by her parents' success in operating shops. So she still joined up, serving in the Australian Women's Army service, and after the war, achieved her ambition for some long-distance driving by running a retail venture of her own.
With the war coming, I was always known that I would join the services. My father couldn't join because he had three disabilities, but he got a medal from the Queen for the services he did in Norwood, in South Australia, South Australia. So I thought, right, I'm going to join the services. I'm the eldest. So I joined up and I thoroughly enjoyed the services. Every minute of it, I loved it. And at first, the discipline was very strict and I was used to discipline, so it didn't worry me. I could handle it. And I loved the work they were giving me, but it wasn't suiting me. Although I could do what they had told me, except drive, and I wanted to drive, and they wouldn't let me because I was only 5 foot one, and you got to be bigger than that to get up in the trucks and drive a big truck. So they said, no, you can't be a driver. So being very disappointed, I then went to clerical, but I wasn't really satisfied. I can do that outside of... Sure. I wanted to be war, do something for the war.
Let's take you through that bit by bit. I want to go back a little bit first, though, because your family, the Moyer family, you were Phil Moyer, M-O-I-R, prominent people in Norwood. Yeah. Your father became Mayor of Norwood. Great supporter of the Norwood Football Club.
Oh, yes. And then, on every committee in Norwood that he could be on, of course.
Mm. So you clearly had...
And I helped my mother always with all her social events.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Mm. I'd help her with the flowers, decorating the Norwood Town Hall and helping her get ready for a big event that she was having because they were women's service, the mothers of the members of parliament and the mayor and the councillors. They all worked for some functions that were on at the Norwood Town Hall. They worked. Well, my mother taught me how to do the floral decorations. So I'd go up there and help her with the floral decorations. And we made special little cakes. They call them cupcakes now, but we used to call them fairy cakes when we were doing them back in the 1940s.
So clearly you had a highly active social life.
Yes.
Family was very well
known. I enjoyed my time at the School of Arts. But I was a bit horrified when they came in naked and I had to sketch them because I was only 17 at the time and I got through that okay. But then I was getting closer and closer to 18. So all I was thinking about was joining up. So my birthday, the 3rd of December, I thought, I'm going to put my name down so they know I'm available. And it wasn't until January the 8th that I was able to join the Army, and that was made my life. So I'd do it again tomorrow.
Come January 1941,
yep.
You were in the Army, is that right? No, January 42 it must have been.
Because no, 41.
41, okay.
Yep. I went in 41. They took me at 41.
That's pretty jolly good, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. So we should mention also that your parents, Lena and Albert.
Yeah, they're very well known in Norwood.
And they
very well known
operated
in Norwood.
Shops at some well known cinemas.
Yes, they had shops at Norwood and St. Peter's too. Theatre shops where they had a shop outside And then inside they used to have the trade boys, and then they had a counter inside where you could go to the counter and buy chocolates and ice creams and things like that. And I helped in those shops when I was 12, serving behind the counter and helping out.
So you saw a lot of movies as
I said a lot of movies.
Well, who were your favourite movie stars from those days?
Oh, Betty Davis, Joan Crawford, and all the oldies that are gone now.
What about Fred and Ginger?
Yes. But I wasn't smart enough to dance like them, so I was jealous of them because they could dance so beautifully. And I loved dancing, but they were good too.
I should perhaps tell people listening to this interview that there's something of the movie star about you. This will sound a little politically incorrect these days, but you're a very glamorous person. You love your makeup.
Yes, I do.
You clearly care enormously about getting your coiffure quite right and getting organised for the day. And didn't you tell me that you even put on lipstick to do the dishes?
To do the washing.
To do the washing.
To do the washing. I've done that since I was married.
Yes.
I've put on lipstick and makeup before I'd go out and do the washing.
Wonderful.
Nobody would see me in the backyard hanging clothes until I had my makeup on. It was vanity, my mother told me. It was vanity, but it was me.
This 18-year-old with the film star looks and fashion joined
the
army.
Yeah, they joined the army,
And then things changed, didn't they?
It certainly did. Oh, my word, no makeup, hair cut short.
Yes.
And knees, your skirt below your knees. You couldn't have your skirt level with your knees. You had to have it below your knees.
So when you enlisted...
And you had Bombay bloomers, which we all nearly died with our Bombay bloomers. That's something I should have told you. We get there and we're getting our clothes. We're at the storeroom. We're only just joined up. We come from Torrance Drill Hall.
Yep.
And we're going to the storeroom to get our clothes and take them down to St. Margaret's, where that night we would be told, you'll sleep on that bed. That is your bed, and that's where you will sleep, and that's where you'll hang your clothes. And when we're in the storeroom, they come out with these Bombay, and we're all in little knickers and deep little bras and everything for 18-year-olds, thinking we were just in high heel shoes. And they put these Bombay bloomers on. Did we have to wear them? And they said, yes, underneath your uniform, you will be wearing them, ma'am. Says the soldier. It was a man that was giving them to us. The orderly was at the quarter room. That's where I get a bit mixed up in my brain. He said, I'm afraid you're going to have to. Yeah. He said, and another thing, he said, they'll be better for you because the material in your skirt sometimes itches.
Yeah.
And I said, what? Because it did, you know, the material in your uniform. Sure. Did get a little bit, or this is velvet, but something with your skirt would rub on your legs. And you said, the Bombay bloomers, girls, don't worry about it. They'll save your legs from getting rubbed.
But then you had the
experience. We all laughed, and we were all saying, we're not wearing those.
You were all lined up, or shall we say, all sat down for a haircut.
Oh, yeah, they lined chairs up on the, we were at St. Margaret's now. We were taken down in big trucks. Where we sat on the, we didn't know how to sit on. We were sitting on our cases.
This is down at Semaphore, isn't it?
Down at Semaphore, yeah. St. Margaret's it's called. I think it's still there.
Yep.
And that's where we had to go to do our rookie training. Everyone did, most of them. And we're heading down there. Then we all unload. And when we unload, we went into this room, put our things down at a bed, and come outside. When they're outside, there's a row of chairs. And one at a time, six chairs, and there was about 40 of us. So six chairs. So six of us at a time would sit on these chairs, and we all nearly went, oh! You should have heard the girls when they seen the way they cut their hair. Yeah. Snip, straight around. Basin cut, they used to call it.
Yes.
Do you remember that? They used to call it the basin cut. And it would go straight around your ears and around the back of your head and here.
Yeah.
And that was it. And cut your fringe off.
Mm.
And we were crying.
Poor things.
We were crying. We went to bed that night crying and all feeling sorry for ourselves. We said, what did we join the army for?
Well, you joined because you wanted to be a truck driver.
I didn't care. I was still happy to be there,
Was it adventure? Was this the thing you really wanted to do something different?
I just thought I wanted to drive.
What, to drive?
Because I could drive, you see. Yeah. We did live at Hope Valley during the Depression.
Uh-huh.
We lived through the Depression on a farm at Hope Valley. Mm-hmm. And then we went to live at Norwood. And we were living in George Street, Norwood, next to the Salvation Army. That's where our home was, right. Which they knocked down for the driveway, for the parking centre they've got there now.
I know exactly where you're
You know where I mean?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that was our big home. And it went right back. We bred bulldogs there, and we had horses, because we had horses as well as trucks for the. My father had the Southern Milk Supply.
Right.
He ran that was his business, Southern Milk Supply. And we'd go to the country, and on those big cans, you know, the cans you'd get off the stands at the country, lift those big cans off and put them on there, take them into Amskull's to have them, what's the word?
Pasteurised?
Pasteurised. Oh, clever you. Smart. And that's where I get stuck. I go to say a word and it's gone.
It happens.
But that's it, pasteurised. And have it all pasteurised and then put in bottles or whatever they're doing. And, of course, then they had a horse and cart that would go around in the mornings and put it in billy cans on their verandas and things like that.
So you learn to drive when you're very young.
Oh, yeah, because it was on a farm.
Of course. And so you thought, I'll be an army driver. And they told you you couldn't.
I'll be an army driver. And I thought, I'll be smarter than the other girls because I can drive.
Yes.
No licence because I was only 16, 17, and my father was very worried about it. But straight up the paddock and back again, you know.
But they wouldn't let you.
No, I was too short.
Gosh. That's how cruel.
5 foot one. And when we went in to have our needles, the first day we were there too, before we left Torrens Drill Hall, we all lined up in there and we thought, oh, this is all right. Up with your sleeves.
Yes.
And everybody up their sleeves. You've got to have your needles. Oh, what do we have to have needles for? You've got to have your needles. All right. And there was 5 men in front of us. There were 6 girls I was with. And the 5 men in front of us, 3 of them dropped out, fainted. And we went, and we're next, you know. We thought if we were first, we would have gone through. But we all went through with no tears, no nothing. And 2 men fainted, and out of the 5 of them, the other 3 went out. And they left them there, and we said, pick them up. We're feeling real cross because the soldiers weren't picking them up when they dropped down. And anyway, we stepped over them, put our arms up and got it, or this arm, I think it was, our left arm. Yeah, because our right arm we were using was our left arm, and got our needles before we went down to St. Margaret's. I forgot that.
And so they wouldn't let you drive, so you had to look at other options.
Yes.
And you looked at clerical work.
They suggested it, and I said, I can do clerical work, but I don't know that I'm that happy about it, you know. And they said, well, give it a try.
Yeah.
And the other girls, they went to Searchlight. They went to
telephonist.
They wanted me. They sent me on that one day to learn. And there was 4 in the room. And I went in, I said, now what do I do? And they said, oh, don't worry about it. You'll get through. We're all going to lunch. The 3 out of the 4 went to lunch. The other one went to the toilet. And I'm left there with things going everywhere and I didn't know what I was doing. I plugged into a captain, to somebody. I don't even know who I plugged him into. There was a hell of a blue. Hell of a blue. And who is that girl on the... Get rid of her. Get rid of her. So they got rid of me the very first day I was there.
But then...
they didn't teach me.
No, then you found out there was something you could do.
But I was mad that I couldn't do.
No.
I was happy to do Searchlight. But they didn't teach me and I was embarrassed then to go back with the girls. Sure. I was so embarrassed because they all laughed at me, you know, sort of thing. Oh, come on, Phil, we'll teach you, you know. Well, why didn't you stay and teach me when I was there? Oh, we're only gone for an hour, you know. Anyway, they didn't. But then they said to me, well, we're going to open canteens.
Ah.
They hadn't opened canteens then.
Yeah.
They didn't have military canteens. And they said, we're going to open them and we want people that know about it. And they said, well, Phil Riley's dad used to have theatre shops and I know she used to serve in the theatre shops. So you're it, you know. And I said, okay, I can do that. I can value, you know, things. I can do accountancy for the shop and that sort of thing. They said, right, so you were there. But it took me till I got to Woodside to get my stripes.
Well, you had a number of postings or appointments, shall we say, various canteens.
Warradale, wasn't it?
Yes, Warradale. I'm trying to think. Talk about that.
I had a calendar like...
Yep.
I'll show you what my calendar's like. And you'll say, oh, no wonder. That's my calendar. So yep. I had a couple of calendars I looked up. And I went through some of my things. Oh, this is not it. This is home now.
But
that's the sort of thing I put in my calendar.
So this is rich in social events, shall we say. A very full diary, very full.
And I put things in there. This is mainly doctors and things
right.
I've got to go to.
So,
I looked them up to get some of the information so as I would be correct when
right.
I went there. That's how I know I went to Warradale and then I went to Woodside because I thought, which one did I go to first?
And when you went to Woodside, you were made up to corporal. You got your stripes.
Oh, yeah, I got corporal stripes because we were doing an officer's training school.
Right.
They were.
Yeah.
They were doing it. And, of course, everything had to be prim and proper for an officer's training school to go overseas, the poor devils, probably for the 2nd, 48th and the 10th probably.
Exactly, yes.
And
Rats of Tobruk.
Rats of Tobruk they were.
Yeah.
And it was very sad for them. But we treated them all very well and gave them, you know, they loved the canteen and they loved the idea that they could come in. They had females serving them in the canteen
yes.
as well. The men were there for the wet canteen to pull the beer for them. But the girls were there to serve them we couldn't give them the beer, but one of us all every night sold the beer tickets. We took it in turns of selling the beer tickets.
Then there was another canteen in the city that you went to.
Oh, yeah.
Very significant in
that
your
life. That was the Navy one.
The Navy canteen.
That was the Navy one.
Yes.
The Army and the Navy.
Right. And where was
and
that?
And that was now Grenfell Street, right at the end of Grenfell Street, before you get to the parks and things down here, there's a hotel on the right-hand side
mm-hmm.
going down to Glenelg. Yeah, over there. And there's a big two-storey building here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we took the whole of the back of that building, mm-hmm. would have been about four rooms, and the soldiers were working there, doing things there, the soldiers that had disabilities, they were able to do things in those rooms, and I had like one room that I had for the canteen,
right.
and they could come off the street, they came up off Grenfell Street, down the side street, into the canteen, and they could buy from the canteen anything they wanted. So long as they had a leave pass. Poor little devils.
But you encountered, through this posting, sailors en masse for the first time.
Oh, yes.
Because the Navy and
I hadn't struck up with Navy at all until they were...
What were they like?
Cheeky and yeah. flirty and all that sort of thing. If you don't mind, you know, I was so prim and proper. When I think of myself, you know, if you don't mind... Have you got a leave pass? Don't waste my time if you don't mind. You know that. Can you imagine the attitude?
You must have been invited on a date. So
I was able to do it, and they accepted it because they laughed at me. You know, they said, "Oh, come on, you can give us another packet of cigarettes." No, you come tomorrow, and I'll give you one.
But were you invited out on dates for a drink and dinner?
Oh yeah,
all the time.
Yeah. yeah. But I didn't go until I met Peter.
Ah, you met a sailor.
Met a sailor,
yeah.
and that's what I said in that thing. I met a sailor who came in with a leave pass, who had a leave pass, and asked me to go out to dinner with him.
Right.
And he took me down to his mother's place for dinner that night, at home. I thought we're going to a hotel or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, yes.
No, we went, Mum cooked dinner.
Yeah.
And they lived at Torrensville.
Right.
And we had dinner down there, and she was as nervous as anything, because there was her sailor son looking after an AWOS, which she'd never met before, sort of thing, and an army girl, and she didn't quite know how to treat me. And I said, look, relax, just be normal, let's
right.
be normal. And we become good friends.
Yeah.
We really did come. He had a brother that was in the Air Force. Mm.
So this sailor you met was Peter... Johns.
Peter Leslie Johns. Mm.
And
he's gone now, and Tony's gone. They've been gone now for 25 years.
But you went out on a date.
Oh, I went out that night. We went to Pitchers.
Oh,
we
yeah.
had dinner with Mum and Dad.
Right.
We had dinner at home so Mum could meet me, you see.
Right.
So Mum could meet me. And I said, oh, no, you know, you've got to meet your Mum and Dad first. He said, look, you'll like it. It'll be all right. We're not staying long. We're going to go to the Pitchers, all right. So we had dinner there, and we didn't have to wash the dishes or anything. No, you go, because you've got to catch the bus. We didn't have cars or anything in those days, not even a push bike, you know. You can go and you can catch the down there. I was going to say there was buses down there at Torrensville. And we caught the bus up to town, went to the pictures. I can't even remember what I've seen now. And went to the pictures and we got very friendly. And then he found out about Jim, that I was still friends with Jim, who was, and I hadn't broken off completely with him, but I said I was breaking off because he's still engaged to this lady. I said, and he's finding trouble breaking up, so if he's going to find trouble breaking up, I'm going to break up with him. So I said, if I break up with him, how serious are you? Because I said, I'm very good friends with him, and he and this girl that he's engaged to weren't getting on too good at all. And he wasn't sure. That's why he was engaged to her for quite a while, because they weren't compatible, put it that way. And, of course, I said to him, well, if you want to go out with me, you've either got to give her up, one or the other. I'm not going to be hanging around waiting. Oh, you little devil, you know, the thing I bet he thought. And anyway, it went on for about 8 months or 9 months, but it hit the truth. Mm. It hit the truth that I was going out with a man that was engaged to... that's when it hit the truth.
In the paper?
In the paper, yeah.
Good Lord.
That Roy Moyer, Mayor of Norwood, daughter, is going out with a man that's engaged to a lady down at Victor Harbour. They had a rest home at Victor Harbour, her parents did, and she worked in the rest home down there. And they had this rest home down there, and of course when I married Peter, that was it, he might as well marry her, you see, and married her, but of course she died.
So you married Peter Johns, who was serving in the Navy.
Yep.
And when did you get married, Phil? When was that? In the war still, or after the war?
After the war.
After the war.
I came out in 1946.
Well, let's go back to your military service a bit, because you were running this canteen in the city for the sailors. You'd been at Woodside.
Yep.
So we're up to about 1942, 43 now.
1944 I was at Woodside.
Were you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sort of I would have been at Woodside by then. Mm-hmm. See, we weren't very long in each place.
Right, okay.
See, when I was at... I was only 9 months at Wayville.
Yes.
And then they shift you out.
So what happened after the canteen, the city, the Navy and the Army one? Where did you go after that? Can you recall those?
I retired.
Yes.
And got married.
Okay.
I retired and got married in a month's time.
Yeah. You'd had a pretty good time.
I got
time.
Married at the end, I think it was the end of April that I got married.
1940.
And I come out in the early April.
1946.
Mm.
Okay. Did you think about, I suppose the AWS... still went on for a few years, didn't it? Because it became the Women's Royal Australian Army Corps later.
Yes, and they called it all sorts of things afterwards and carried on. And I stayed with them socially.
Right, yeah.
I did stay with them socially right up until 2000 and something.
That's all right.
I've just got to have a look and find out what the date is.
We'll just pause that. So we've got here...
There's Keith, your friend Keith.
Yes, which refers to the Ex-Service Women's Club of South Australia, formed in 1952, a reunion and a club for women from all the wartime services.
Yeah,
so you were active
up.
In that.
Yeah.
Oh, good on you.
Oh, yeah, I stayed with that until 2005, and then I stayed with the RSL.
I see.
I've been with the RSL and the Vietnam Veterans Federation. Yep. I'm going there Friday for lunch.
Right.
The Vietnam Federation. I go there with the padre and his wife. And they say, we have our oldest member with us today. Phil Riley's here today. Because, see, they were all 65 to 75, yeah. Vietnam.
Exactly.
And of course, our war's been over 75 years. Yeah. And they say, we've got our oldest member here today, and she's still got her blue eye shadow on, and he always has little dig at me, you know.
After the war, your father became a member of parliament, I understand.
I'm thinking that was in the, was that the end of the war?
I'm member of parliament for Norwood, because...
When did Don get in?
Don Dunstan defeated him. He lost his seat in the election battle with Don Dunstan. That was the 1950s when Dunstan got
in.
Well, that's I'm not sure of the year.
That had been in 9 years before that.
Right, okay.
9 years he was in.
Yep.
And then Don beat him because he couldn't speak Italian.
Yes.
Or Dad couldn't speak Italian.
Population had changed so much.
Norwood was full of Italians.
Yes, I see.
Yeah, Norwood became full of Italians, and Don could speak Italian.
Right.
And his wife was wonderful. She drove Mother to all her meetings and everything.
Yes.
When Don became Member of Parliament, and Mum had to teach her to do the different clubs and things that she was involved with. With Dad being a Member of Parliament for 9 years, she didn't know what to do, so she said to Mum, if I drive you, because Mum didn't drive, and she said, if I drive you, she said, will you help and teach me? So his wife, his real wife, like the first one, the children, and Vicky sat next to the girl at school for a while there, she said to Mum, I'll be so grateful.
Life wasn't easy for you, because you'd lost your father, and we don't want to go into too many...
And my husband had left me, and I had all that trouble with the children, worrying about what the government was going to do with my children, because I couldn't work, and I'd just come out of the army, and, I'd had my three children, and I had trouble with each of them, that I was a very sick person when I was having them, so it wasn't like I was a healthy person. And then after I'd had my children, and I got them all to be little kids, I got better, and so did they. And so I had to go and get a job. So do you know who looked after my kids while I... Bert Day. Do you remember Bert Day?
Bert Day, yes.
Yeah, the radio announcer.
Yes, the broadcaster.
Yeah, his wife looked after my kids.
Lovely.
She lived next door. We built a house down at Semaphore. And when I went to work, so they couldn't take my children from me, she looked after my children for me when they come home from school.
Lovely story.
Yes, it is a lovely story because not everyone will look after three children.
No. And you got a job with the Department of Aboriginal Affairs.
Yes. I went to the government. They advertised it in the paper.
Right.
And I went there. And because I had theatre shop experience once again, it put me into buying and opened up the Aboriginal department shop.
Now, a very significant thing. So what we're
every
looking
year
at here,
I had it opened up as a royal show.
We're looking at the shops that Phil opened for the Department of Aboriginal
That's
Affairs.
That's inside the shop.
And they are Aboriginal artefacts.
Yeah. And I went and bought all these. I went
north. Paintings.
And I bought the paintings. I bought everything that you can see. I
boomerangs.
Bought, yeah, went and bought them all.
Woomeras.
Yep.
Shields. Nulla nullas.
Had them all. Yeah, had them all printed up.
Incredible stuff. You pioneered.
The opening of the shop. And this boy, he didn't have a job, and I got him a job as Humphrey B. Bear at Channel 9.
Well done. What a terrific life.
I've had a bit of experience with one thing and another.
And you did tell me, I understand you had some pretty famous customers came down to your Aboriginal shops to buy artefacts.
Yes, they did.
Such as?
The likes of, Marlene Dietrich was one. She sat in the car there. I was really mad.
Right.
She sat in the car out the front. I could see her out the windows of the shop, you know. Do you remember the shop? You don't.
I don't know the shop, but I remember Marlene Dietrich.
Yeah, of course you do. And see, the shop was right on the corner like that, and the park. The park was there.
Yes.
And they got theatres over there now. Mm-hmm. What park is that?
This is Hindmarsh Square, isn't it?
Hindmarsh Square.
Yeah, that's
Hindmarsh Square.
Yeah.
Well, across the road, it used to be Open House.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Open House?
A bit before my time, but I know the area.
I know, I was going to say it's a bit before your time, because that's when we were all romancing, you know. that was across the road, and the shop was opposite.
Right.
Shop was opposite. And it was a big shop on the corner, and Amy's insurance took over when we left. But that photo's in there. Oh, that's my husband getting a medal. And they gave me the shop because it wanted the public to see it,
sure.
Yeah. So they sent me north, up north with another driver, two girls together, and we went right up north, right up past Alice Springs, you know, I can't think of the places up there now.
Catherine?
No, not that high. Not that high. Down a bit.
Tennant Creek.
Yes, Tennant Creek and all those places.
Yep.
And all those places around there. we went by, and yep. little Humphreys, that I've got photos of them there, and I'd go and I'd of me buying from them,
right.
photos of me buying from them there, but they're little brownie snaps. That's all we had in those sure. days was a brownie camera.
So you did all these exciting things. You had three children by your marriage, which came
to an end. And Birthday's wife looked after him. I can't remember her name
That's
now.
That's all right. So you were Mrs. Johns for a while. Then you married Mr. Riley.
Yeah, and I married Riley.
This is Jim.
Everybody knew Jim Riley.
Now, this is the Jim we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Who'd been a close friend before
and
you got
married. The family
married.
And the footy brand. Yeah.
So you came together
yep.
eventually. Lovely story. You're showing me a photograph of
it's
Jim
of
now.
Him. Yeah.
Lovely photograph. That's terrific. So you
I
got
had a
together.
Big oil painting of him yeah. that my granddaughter wanted it because she was his pet.
Yep.
She was his favourite. And when he died, she asked me, could she have the oil painting?
Right.
Well, I didn't want to let her have it because I had it down in that corner where I got that little tree thing now. And I thought, well, she wanted it so badly, I let her have it. It was an oil painting by somebody overseas that did it for him from a little photo that big.
Yes, okay.
And it was perfect.
Yes, I know what you mean.
So I said, oh, you can have it. And I only gave it to her 3 years ago.
So just to reflect on
yeah.
a life
what
of...
What would you like to pick up from
enormous,
there?
Enormous change. What I really want to get now is the thought, you had that remarkable period in your life where you joined the Australian Women's Army Service. You satisfied a lot of needs, a lot of desires, ambitions by doing that. What did those years mean to you, looking back on them now? How important were they in your life?
The Army years?
Yeah, the Army years.
I'd do it all tomorrow. I would do it all tomorrow, if only I could be 20 again, 18 again. If I could be 18 again, I'd join tomorrow.